The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Got an idea for a topic? Email us at newsmakers@krla870.com. That's newsmakers@krla870.com. Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino, AM 870, The Answer.
My guest is Congressman Jay Obernolte, represents California's 23rd District, and he is joining us to talk about something that is really very unfair and being stuck on employers and will have an impact on businesses, and he's here to explain what it is. Thank you so much for being with us.
Sure. It's great to see you, Larry.
Yeah, this is a story that follows after COVID and the shutdown and the employment insurance being paid and, of course, all the scandals about the mismanagement and the funds being paid out to people who weren't eligible, billions of dollars with it. Well, now they want businesses to pay it back. Explain.
Right. Well, normally unemployment insurance is provided by two parallel systems. There's a state system that does all of the day-to-day claims processing, and then there's a federal system that backstops the state system. And when the state system gets into financial trouble, they can borrow money from the federal system. That's called a Title 12 loan. So many states do that when economic times are tough, and certainly the COVID pandemic was no exception to that. And the state of California took out large loans from the federal government to keep its unemployment insurance system solvent. But then in the next year, when you recover that money, you're supposed to pay that money back to the federal government. And in fact, the federal government gave billions of dollars to California in the form of COVID stimulus with the expectation that some of that money would be used to repay these federal loans. But the state of California kept all of that money and didn't use any of it to repay the loans. We're only one of four states that failed to repay those loans, and we owe the most amount of money to the federal government by far. So federal law says when that occurs, when a state fails to repay its loans, all employers in that state pay a penalty to the federal government when they file their unemployment tax return. And that penalty starts out small the first year, and then it doubles the second year, then it doubles again the third year, and that keeps on going until the loan is repaid. So the last time California was in arrears on its Title 12 loans, in the final, which was in the Great Recession, they didn't get those loans paid back until 2017, at which point every employer in the state was paying an extra $147 per employee per year in penalties to the federal government. So I am just disgusted that this is happening again. I'm disgusted that employers in California are being asked to repay a loan that was taken out by the state that they had nothing to do with. I'm disgusted that California didn't use these billions of dollars in COVID funds to repay it. And I'm also disgusted that the state had a $97 billion budget surplus last year, the largest in the history of the state. That is enough to repay those Title 12 loans five times over, and yet the state refused to do so. And now it's asking its employers to repay its debt. It's just unconscionable.
Yeah, they're not asking their employers to pay. They're going to make them pay it. And
that's correct, yeah.
It's disgusting if you think about it. And then go back and think about what happened to that $95 billion, some of that money. Well, Governor Newsom wanted to look real good, and so he started issuing rebates to California taxpayers. Oh, yeah, to arrive right around election time. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we've got multiple investigations, including the state auditor, who's looked into this huge unemployment insurance fraud that the EDD did not catch. And they found over $30 billion of fraudulent payments were made in unemployment insurance money. And Larry, if that alone were caught, then the state wouldn't owe any money to the federal government. That fraud alone would have been enough to repay the loan.
Right. But it's not solved. That money's gone. And now they want to stick it to employers, which then means sticking it on businesses, which then means sticking it on consumers, because as things go up for the business, they either have to cut employees or raise prices, which then continues to drive inflation. It really is a nightmare. But you're very thoughtful and articulate about your description of it. But I wonder how the left-leaning media is going to be on this. Those who carry the water for the governor in this state, are they going to touch this story?
Well, I don't think they'll even mention it because it's difficult to defend. The last time that we had this problem, I was in the California state legislature, and I was the vice chair of the budget committee. And every time we had a budget come up, I would raise my hand and say, why on earth are we not repaying these loans? And the reaction of my left-leaning colleagues was usually, oh, well, that's a business problem. It's just that the business community should take care of it. But that is absolutely untrue. Businesses did not take out these loans. Businesses had nothing to do with being closed down by the state in the middle of the COVID pandemic. That was not businesses' fault that caused that unemployment. And businesses had no way of preventing the huge amount of fraud that the EDD let go out the door in terms of these checks that went to completely easily recognizable fraudulent situations like being mailed to prisons, right? So, there's just no excuse for not having the state repay this money.
Yeah. Is the governor addressing this? Because all I see is that he's taking trips outside the state, going to Florida, kind of launching a national campaign against Republican-leaning states. You know, where's the focus on what his culpability in this? He was the one who closed churches, by the way. A court ruling came in saying you shouldn't have done that, and you have to enter into a consent decree to agree that California will never do that again. I mean, that was kind of a good slap on the wrist there, but you're right. The loans were not taken out by the businesses. They were taken out by the state. The fraud was not caused by the businesses. It was caused, well, it wasn't caught fast enough by the state, and they have failed to get that money back. What a shocking development. It really adds to the challenges that California faces and the burdens that California business owners must carry. This is already a very tough state for businesses to survive in, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, by a lot of measures, the worst business environment in the entire country is in California. Those costs, as we all know, get passed down to consumers. They have to be, ultimately. And so that's reflected in this enormous difference in the cost of living between living in California and living in other states. That's one of the reasons why, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, California has the worst poverty of any state in the country. It's because of our high cost of living. It's the high cost of housing, mostly driven by state mandates that are difficult and expensive to comply with. It's the high cost of our energy. I'll tell you, in my hometown, the electric provider just submitted a rate case with the California Public Utilities Commission to raise electric rates over 40 cents a kilowatt hour. Think about how hard it is to pay 40 cents a kilowatt hour for the electricity to run your house when you're trying to make ends meet on minimum wage. I mean, it's just, you can't do it. And, you know, for these environmentalists that are pushing these mandates that are driving up, you know, on renewable energy, that are driving up these electric costs. Now, think about this. It's impossible to make the math work on driving an electric vehicle if you're paying 40 cents a kilowatt hour for your electricity. It ends up being way more expensive than just buying fuel for a conventionally powered vehicle. So everybody loses when this is the case.
Yeah. Just saw a story on the wire about subsidies that are going to go to buying EVs, a program that's way over cost, and some in Congress complaining about that as well. There's so many things we can talk about. We have a few minutes remaining. Hey, give us an update on how things are doing up in your hometown and area. You know, we covered those horrific storms that came through and how it took so long to dig people out. Are things better now? Is there any lasting damage there? What's the story?
Well, it's certainly much better in terms of the amount of snow in many of the mountain communities that I represent. The snow is now melting off. However, what I am very worried about is the lasting effect on all of those mountain businesses. Because in those mountain communities, tourism is the number one industry. And that's where all of the money for supporting businesses and supporting employment comes from. And the high seasons are the middle of the winter, because people come up to ski and enjoy the snow, and the middle of the summer when people come up to boat and fish and hike. So this series of storms cut out, you know, nearly half of the high season of winter. And now that people are finally able to visit again and everything's dug out, we're in what's called the shoulder season, where we're getting into spring, and traditionally visitation falls from that. So I am really worried that we're going to have hundreds and hundreds of businesses that are failing because they didn't get that revenue coming in for the winter high season, and they just don't have the savings to be able to stay in business until the high season in the summer. And so, I'm really, really concerned about that.
Yeah. And the government basically saying, okay, we're going to let you file your taxes later in the year. That's not going to pay the difference, is it?
No, it's not. And even letting them pay the taxes later, which is part of that deal, you know, we fought for that at the federal level to get that that relief. But I mean, that's not going to do it by itself. We also fought to qualify the victims of those natural disasters for low-income loans from the Small Business Administration, the SBA. So if anyone's listening and you need help with that, my office can help you navigate that process and file for that relief. But again, those are loans. You know, that's not going to, that might shore up the finances temporarily, but that money's got to be paid back. And these businesses are just going to be suffering.
Yeah. And as we wrap up, let's go back to the businesses and what we started with, how the burden is going to be placed on them to repay the loans involving the EDD that the federal government made to the state. What can our listeners do if they want to have their voices be heard on this? Is this a done deal, or can they complain to the legislature or the governor, or where should we focus our energy if we want to change this?
Sure. Well, I mean, just to be clear, this is far from a done deal. Every employer in California just had to pay a small penalty this year because we were only 1 year in arrears on the loan. But next year, the penalty will double. And it'll double again the year after that, and it'll double again the year after that. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse until the state repays that money. And last time, the state allowed that to continue doubling until the employers, through that penalty, had repaid all of the loan. The state paid interest on it, but didn't repay a single dollar of the principal. It all came out of the pockets of the state's employers. That's what's going to happen to every employer in California if something isn't done. Mm. So I would recommend definitely write a letter to the governor expressing how unfair you think this is. You can contact your state representatives, although I have a feeling that in your coverage area, Larry, most of your representatives are probably, in our camp in their belief that the state ought to repay that money. But still, it can't hurt, you know, to contact your state representative, your member of the assembly, yeah, or your state senator, and let them know that this is a priority and that the state needs to repay that money.
Thank you much for being with us, Congressman Jay Obernolte, who represents California's 23rd district. Appreciate your time with us today.
It's always great to talk to you, Larry.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.